Let's start where my heart is.
Oh, boy.
Texas A&M. Look, this is a big game for both coaches to me. It's early for Mike Elko. I get it.
Yep.
But you lose a home game like that, you're looking for a rebound. You're going to Gainesville where you got destroyed in a home game. You have seemingly the leader, the star player for the program of the future in DJ Lagway. He showed it. Again, I don't care if it was Samford. He showed something there, Rusty. But now they're going to split snaps. What about this game?
He says they're going to split snaps.
Tell me everything I need to know about this game.
I just think that you got to – he knows the room. He knows the pulse of this, what's going on here. You can't – Mike would know this more being in a college locker room with a player like Graham Mertz who has done everything you've asked of him. You can't just kick him to the curb.
It's tough.
You can't kick a leader to the curb. He also understands that he has to show why he needs to be the head coach from Florida for the future. And DJ Lagway is the one thing that's holding that fan base together, in my opinion, right now. So you're going to play him. You're going to ride that hot hand. You got to play both to see what happens. But if he comes in, if Lagway has two drives and they're up 10 to nothing, I don't know that you play Mertz.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I don't know that you do it.
Do you think it will be two, alternating two, or a one and one?
I don't know how they're going to do it, but he's in a tough spot because Graham Mertz has done everything right, and everything I read, he kind of has that locker room. Not saying anything against DJ Lagway, but Mertz has kind of been there, done that. You got to lead off-season workouts. You got to be the guy telling be on time. You got to be the guy saying hustle. I've got y'all. You got to be the guy that's leading 7-on-7. Graham Mertz has done all that.
Let me just say this because you brought it up. The only way that thing starts to change as far as who has a locker room is when you have success.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
Right? Those players are looking at you going, coaches, well, it was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah.
So.
I'll be honest with you. I mean, and it's a little bit different scenario, but, you know, Jacob Eason led the offseason. Jacob Eason was that guy. Jacob Eason had the job in fall camp. He rolled his ankle, and when Jake Fromm stepped in, things turned. And they started getting success, and that was it. Didn't mean that they didn't like Jacob Eason, and he still was a great teammate. But once they had success with Jake Fromm, and once he beat Notre Dame on the road, it was a wrap. Never got it back.
So you got Georgia on the road against Kentucky, night game.
Mm-hmm.
Kirby Smart talked about the great deal of respect that he has for Kentucky and talked about their talent, the way they do things. Mm-hmm. Is this a sneaky one to watch out for the Dogs?
For whatever reason, when Georgia goes to Kentucky, specifically at night, kind of crazy things have happened. Now, they haven't taken losses, but they haven't played to what I would say the experts say. Last two times up there with two really good teams, they beat Kentucky 14-3 and 16-6. Now you're going up there at night, a team that absolutely embarrassed themselves last week, embarrassed themselves against South Carolina. You got a transfer quarterback. You got your former captain, former all-SEC linebacker, Jamon Dumas Johnson, oh, by the way, is there now, which is crazy. And listen, I'm not saying Georgia's going to lose this game. I think Georgia's going to win this football game. They're favored by 24. I just don't know that this is going to be one of those games like the experts think. I mean, you could turn around. This game's 27-10 in the fourth quarter. It's going to be rainy. It's going to be windy. Georgia's got beat up a little bit, defensive line. I mean, this is just one of those games that kind of gets your attention. And I'm not trying to channel my Larry Munson and get everybody all stirred up. Stranger things have happened. I expect Georgia to win, but I'm not sure it's a 24-point type win.
Yeah, I think the over-under kind of tells you the story. I think it's like at 45.
You throw the weather
right?
in.
So
the weather.
You know what's crazy? You brought that up, man. That was a spooky place to play all the way back when I was in college. I remember, first of all, I think Tebow got knocked out. Wasn't that – that was at Kentucky. Tebow gets a concussion, lands on somebody's knee.
Yeah.
You also had LSU losing in double overtime up there, the national championship year for
them. They say the wind in that stadium's crazy.
Yeah, we never played – we played a day game there, so it's always going to be kind of crazy. Hey, speaking of good teams going on the road, I don't know what LSU is, and I don't know what South Carolina is, man.
Yeah.
Those are two teams that you look at what they should be going into the year, and you're like, well, this should be easy. LSU didn't look good in week one.
Yep.
They're kind of shaky, the whole Brian Kelly thing. And South Carolina suddenly looks like they have a pulse. So what are your expectations for that matchup?
They got a defensive end by the name of Dylan Stewart. And if you haven't seen him, I remember sitting in one of the last meetings I ever sat in about rankings. Charles Power, who does our own three rankings, he said, this is the best player in the country. This guy is the best player in the country. And from Washington, D.C., defensive end, got down to South Carolina, Ohio State, Georgia was involved with him. But he went to South Carolina. He wanted to be the guy. And he has been the guy from day one. So you
very
see
Clowney-esque.
Him, he is very – and you get into the football nerd side of it, I'm not sure I've seen a defensive end been like this in a long time.
Wow.
This dude can – like, he gets underneath – he's a tackle's worst kind. When you see him – hey, when you see him, like, low –
hair on the back of my neck, rusty.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, you better be ready. Those tackles – they say both the tackles, Will Campbell and the 50, they say both those guys are first-round draft picks.
Wow.
So if you're Dylan Stewart, you're thinking, all right, these guys are first-round draft picks.
Yep.
So I'm going to find out what I got. So I think Gareth Nussmeier is a good quarterback. I want to see what Sellers has got. This is kind of that weekend where you find out really what you're made of. It's going to be some games. I'm going to give you a sneaky game way out. Oregon's at Oregon State at night.
Mm.
Oregon State's 2-0.
Mm.
Oregon struggled. Mm-hmm. Running back from Boise ran for 196 on him. Whew. Oregon State has a running back from Rome, Georgia, who was the Gatorade State Player of the Year, Jamias Griffin, on two-time state champion team out of Rome. And I'm telling you, Jamias can go.
And that's always going to be a rivalry.
That's
game.
All,
I had,
it's a rivalry.
I had that
you know
game.
That.
That's
yes,
all, yeah.
Yes, that is a sneaky Saturday night game way out there. And you think about, you throw that rivalry part in there, there's your sneaky game of the week. If Oregon State were to pull that upset, talking about rattling some poles.
Did he have a shark tooth necklace in high school?
Dude. I think he might have. He might have.
Tell you what, nothing gets me going like Rusty Manziel talking about defensive lineman's bend. I tell you what, I'm all in. All right, look, the Alabama going on the road to Camp Randall. Now, this is a 16-point game spread,
yep.
And Alabama is obviously the favorite. But am I wrong in the fact that I'm not sold that this is just a cakewalk for Alabama? You're going on the road.
Yep.
It's a noon start. It's one of the toughest environments in college football, especially the Big Ten. Tell me why I'm wrong that Alabama won't roll in this game.
This is one of those games, I think, where it's like, because it's going to be a great environment. You got to travel to a different place. This is one of those games, to me, it was like 14-3 Alabama at half. And then you turn around and it's 30-10. It's 34. It's 33-10 at the end of the game.
Mm, I'd take it.
Jimmy's and Joe's, at the end of the day, travel. And I heard you guys talking about it. Wisconsin trying to throw the ball. This is not a get right team. You know, this
Phil
is not
Longo.
A team.
Like,
yeah,
where did that
I don't. I mean, this is not a team. You're like, hey, this is going to be a great week for us to try this out on Alabama. Let's just try to spread this thing out and throw it around. It's going to take a while. I think they got a good coach there. I think it's going to be a great environment. I talked to a lot of Alabama fans. I told Mike earlier, I got some Alabama buddies that are leaving tomorrow. They said I won't be in the casino by 11:30 on Friday. There's going to be a ton of Alabama fans there. They've planned this. I think Wisconsin can stick around for a half. I really do. But at the end of the day, I think Alabama pulls away. I love this young wide receiver, Ryan Williams. I think he's a dude. He's 17 years old. A guy can't even buy a lottery ticket. I don't guess yet. He already is a lottery pick.
Was
can't
it
buy a lottery
born
ticket.
When Nick Saban was hired at Alabama? That made me sick to my stomach.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, Rusty, we always appreciate
Georgia State
the
now. Big one.
I know this
big
is a big one.
Big one. Vanderbilt at Georgia State Saturday night.
From? Like, why would Vandy sign up to play that game?
Man, I don't know.
I mean, no offense to anybody. It's just a weird random.
You know, it's probably signed like 4 or 5 years ago. Maybe.
Yeah.
Now they're thinking, man, we got our hands full.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
All right. Appreciate it, Rusty.
Thank you.